You're listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hello and welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast for Thursday, November 15th. I am Chris Manning, your host from ForTheStore.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers blog, and this is your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers from the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one daily local sports podcast network. If you aren't already, you can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Megaphone, or wherever else you listen to podcasts, and a five-star review is the best way to support the show. You can find the show on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Cavs, and you can find me on Twitter and Facebook at CWM Writes. On today's show, we are taking a look at the Cavs' 119-95 loss to the Wizards on Wednesday night in the nation's capital. This was fresh off the heels of Cleveland's best night of the season, their win over the Hornets on Tuesday, or its win over the Hornets on Tuesday to be grammatically correct. There were a few bright spots in this game for the Cavs, but this was largely bad because the Cavs got back to doing what they have done best this season, which is lose, and lose by a lot. Before we get into today's show, just a reminder that we are going to be running new segments on the show. So Mondays, it's going to be the Colin Sexton check-in. Tuesday, the Jetty Osman check-in. Wednesday, it's not all bad. 10 minutes of something positive going on the Cavs this week. That was a look at Tristan Thompson, as well as what David Nwaba did the other night. Tactics Thursday, which is today's show. For 10 to 15 minutes, me and Mike Zavgano from For the Sword and Dimag are going deep into a tactical thing we're interested in right now. And a tease for what we're going to talk about later, it's a look at what the Cavs are doing with playing two big lineups out of necessity right now. And then on Friday, it's Draft Prospect Friday. Because the draft is going to matter so much for the Cavs this year, we're going to talk about a prospect every Friday with Trevor Magnotti from For the Sword and the Step Back. This week, we're going to be talking about Zion Williamson from Duke. Next week, Nazir Little from UNC. But let's get into today's show and looking at the Wizards game. So, the good of the game. There's not a lot. Let's be honest about that. But this was not exactly like some of the other Cavs' losses this year. They had some moments. They continued to build on some of the more positive habits we've seen them implement of late. They've played harder. I think they've been a little less likely to just quit in some of these games of late, which is good. And tonight, even though they got down, it wasn't the same exact desperate vibe I think we've seen. This is a game and the type of loss that isn't as bad as the other one. So to me, it resembles an outline of progress. It is not progress because you cannot have progress when you lose like this to a Wizards team that has been so bad this year and all over the place this year, even if their talent level is better. But it wasn't as bad as, let's say, the Hornets' 32-point loss or some of the other just destructive losses they've had. The big positive for me coming out of this game really is Colin Sexton. He continues to look positive as a player. He looks more comfortable. He's been good as a starter. He has a lot to figure out as the team's offensive leader, and that's going to come in time. It's going to get better for him, I think, when George Hill is back, and particularly when Kevin Love is back. And that's fine. He's a rookie point guard who has a lot to learn and a long way to go before he's actually a good, real NBA player. But this was just another game where he scored a lot. He had 24 points. He got to the rim. His shot form looks better. He's picking better shots. He's not just gunning for mid-range shots now. He's looking more to get to the rim. He's willingly taking more threes and actually making them. Two games in a row now, he's made two threes. That's a good sign for a guy that wasn't really taking them at all in a lot of games earlier and dribbled out of a corner three in a game this year, infamously. He's still taking mid-range shots, but that's not the only thing he's doing. Again, that's a good step in the right direction for him. Again, I think we're getting to a point where I don't know if you can go back to starting George Hill. Colin Sexton has been good. He's learning a lot from this. To me, it's tough to maybe go back to George Hill. In my mind, if you're going to bump someone, you maybe bump Rodney Hood. You could bump Jetty as well and just bump Rodney to three. I think there's some adjustments you could see coming. Interesting decision to Larry Drew based on just how good Sexton's been since he was forced into starting against the Thunder. So Larry Nance Jr. is the other big kind of positive for me in this game. He had his best all-around game of the season. 10 points, 6 boards, 5 assists, 4 steals. He made another 3-pointer as well when he was the release valve at the top of the key when Tristan Thompson was doubled at the rim, and his form on that shot looked good. Most impressively, he was insanely active in the first quarter, picking off passing lanes, making things happen on defense, and just doing a little bit of everything. More of this from Nance is a good sign. He and Tristan aren't actually working too bad as a duo either, which you'll hear about more later in the show with Mike. But really good step in progress for Larry Nance. Two good back-to-back games for him. He looks a little healthier, looks a little more comfortable after he really struggled to start the year. And Tristan was just leagues better than him. Tristan's still better right now, but Tristan, that doesn't have necessarily as big of a lead right now if you're going to rank them on a scale. David Nwaba is another thing in this game. That guy is really good. I'm a big fan. Here's a guy that they're at. They're throwing to the four. He's really a two in terms of his height and his length, but he's dealing with bigger guys because he's a very strong, stocky, smart player. He's dealing with bigger guys, and he's eating up minutes at the four. He didn't make the type of threes he made the other night in this game, but he still drove. He dished up. He got to the rim, had 11 points as a result. He had 7 rebounds. He was pushing the ball off of rebounds sometimes as well, something that he isn't great at because he's not a creator for others. But he's patient. He knows kind of when to pick his spots, and he plays a good brand of basketball. He was put into the rotation because the Cavs were hit by injuries. I was advocating for him coming into the season to play. I still would rather see him play in the same Decker in a vacuum. I get why they didn't go with him. I think there were some offensive concerns there. But based on how he's played, particularly against the Hornets and now against the Wizards, I think this is a guy that has to continue to keep getting minutes. When this team is healthy, again, Larry Drew has a lot of decisions to make. This isn't going to be a good team, but if they're going to be competent, if they're going to kind of optimize sort of what they're doing, there are some things they're going to kind of have to figure out. They're going to have to make tough choices and pick sort of a brand of basketball. And what Nwaba is, I think, will kind of indicate what they're going to think and what kind of role he's going to play is going to play into that too. I would personally really like to see him keep playing. I think he's useful no matter what they do. And you can find uses for him. And as a defender, again, they are not a good defensive team. He can cover for some of that because he is a skilled defender and who's very smart and knows when to rotate and can guard a couple positions, especially with the NBA playing smaller, a little bit quicker. That guy can hang against some guys that are playing fours now and aren't just your traditional fours of what we sort of think of them as being like 5 years ago. So I don't mind Andrew Harrison as another positive. His third game for the Cavs was Thursday. He hits some threes. He moves the ball. He picks his spots well. He kind of at least tries on defense. Another guy that's really going to be tough to get minutes for once all the bodies are back. Well, who even knows if he's on this team beyond his 45 days of that two-way deal. But he'd be an all right use of that last roster spot because he would be a guard who could go through when injuries inevitably happen again. When trades happen or just things change, like if there's buyouts, you're going to need minutes at guard. It's sort of the role they had Isaiah Taylor destined and slotted in for before he suffered that leg stress fracture at the end of training camp. They went to him in a pinch. They went to him in a situation of desperateness. John Holland was a really good guy and a really well-liked guy in that organization, so I don't think anyone necessarily liked cutting John, even though he doesn't have this necessarily even the upside of a Harrison. Harrison's not even a super high upside player that you would think of like Billy Preston being. But I could see him getting the rest of the season. I could see this being a guy who does stick around, that they just signed to that last roster spot, and even if he doesn't play, at least have another body there that can play a couple guard spots. And he's doing okay. And this was not a good Cavs game, but there's enough there where I feel a little bit more positive about it than I have coming out of some of the other blowout losses this year. So we're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear from Colin Sexton what he had to say after the loss. And then we're going to come back and talk about some of the bad of the game. So stay tuned for more Locked On Cavaliers.
John Wall was only in for, I think, 21 minutes tonight. In the time that he was in there and you were going against him, how did you feel going against a veteran point guard of his caliber?
He's good. He's tough. I went against Kimba last night, which was a good lead up to John tonight. So me getting these reps against these good guards is going to help me in the long run.
I guess following up on that, given Kimba last night, Chad tonight, it seems there's so many good point guards in the league. You know, what do you think that will do for you?
Just help me. I feel like that's going to just help me become better on defense because they're live and they can go anytime they want. So I just got to make sure I'm prepare for them driving or shooting. Just stay on my toes.
And we're back. So there you heard Colin Sexton talking about going against the one and only John Wall. So to look at some of the bad from this game, the Cavs did revert to some bad habits in this game. It's something Larry Drew had done in his post-game media availability. And turnover-wise, this was the big issue. 24 turnovers led to 29 Wizards points. This was a major reason this game was not close. I think it's the reason the game was not close. Jordan Clarkson, who didn't shoot well in this game, was the leader with 6 turnovers. But Jetty Osman had 2 really, really bad ones, albeit not when the game was competitive. Sexton had 4 against his 2 assists, his probably big blemish of the night. Nance had 2 as well. One that Nance and Sexton contributed together was they had a botched dribble handoff where Wall just kind of read it perfectly. Sexton maybe went a bit too hard trying to go past this. Go past Nance and get the ball and get going, and he just misread it, and John Wall gets going the other way. These are avoidable mistakes, and one that kill a team that has this small of a margin for error. Just some sloppiness, some things a younger team that's relying on younger guys are going to make. Tired coming out the second half of back-to-back. Some of these things happen. You'll have games like this, but just that's the big reason, and it's something that this Cavs team is prone to, frankly. It's something that with the kind of decision makers you have right now, with some of the issues you're really having right now with who's playing, who's out, and just the structure of things, I'm not really surprised that's really an issue. And if you look at some of the turnover stats on the year, the Cavs have a turnover percentage of 15.8%. That's in the 25th percentile. That's really, really bad. For context, last year they were 13.9. The year they won the title in 15-16, 14.4. It has not been this bad since the 14-15 season. So that's where they're at right now. It's a tough look for them. They have really quite a bit of ways to go to kind of figure this out. But again, it's part of having a young team and all the chaos that they've had. On the same wavelength as this and some of the carelessness, the Cavs really got back to not being good at stopping the ball well in transition or really in any situation. Washington got 52 points in the paint against the Cavs, and I think that's largely because they were getting kind of easy looks in the paint and the Cavs were not doing anything to stop any dribble penetration. The Wizards don't rate out perfectly in this game. Just 51st percentile in half-court offense for cleaning the glass, 48th percentile in transition. But they made them a lot of their opportunities in this game. Colin Sexton, I think, was kind of a guy who struggled with this with John Wall, so I think this will be a big learning experience for him if you want to spin it this in a positive way. At least it should be a learning experience when he goes and gets to look at the film of this game. Wall really is just incredibly fast. He has his limits as a player. And you know he is what he is at this point. But this is a guy who is uber fast, is really good at switching speeds, and he did this to Sexton over and over again in this night where he just caught the rookie off guard and just shredded him in that way. There were some habits that were better in some of these games. Nawaba, I think, is kind of good at tracking some of this, and that helps. But it's going to have to get better if the Cavs are going to win any more games or win a significant more number of games or if they're going to kind of survive these next couple weeks. Just the teams they're playing, you have Philly that's going to really push the ball. You have and have shooters running around. They're going to, and at least J.J. Redick running around. You have Houston with Chris Paul and James Harden. You have the Lakers. You have the Pistons even. You have a lot of good teams that are coming through in the next week or so that are really going to test some of this. And this is probably the weakest part of the Cavs' defense is just their ability to stop the ball, their mental awareness of when to stop the ball, how to stop the ball, and who's going to be where. That's something that I think would probably be one of their priorities now that they have some time off. Jetty was back, which was good to see after missing 3 games, but he was not quite the same player we've seen, and I think some of that has to be rust. Again, as I mentioned earlier, he made 2 really just bonehead passes that are not the type of passes he typically makes. He had late in the game, he ran a pick and roll where he like turned all the way around and tried to throw a pass, and I just don't know what he was doing there. He looked like a player who had been out a little uncomfortable, a little just off. He's also not the type of player that is too good to be making these kind of mistakes where this is like super alarming. He's young, he's raw, He's not like Ben Simmons or anything like that. So this is probably fine, but a rough return for him. Came off the bench as well. Don't know if he's going to start going forward, if they're going to keep playing the two bigs. We'll see. I know some of the bigs in the locker room really want them to play two bigs. Tristan's kind of got a leadership role there. Maybe Larry Drew sticks with it. We'll see, but not a good return for Jetty in his 24 minutes. 2-6 shooting, had 5 boards, 3 assists, 2 turnovers, 4 points coming off the bench in his first game back from back spasms. And then you go to the next thing. Jordan Clarkson, a really, really bad night for him. Bad shot selection, bad passing, no looking for others. Somewhat torpedoes the Cavs' second unit. And it's just kind of crazy that this is how important he is to the Cavs, where if he doesn't play well and isn't contributing to sort of basketball that feeds everybody else, it's not a whole lot that can really happen with the second unit. He gets 9 points, but 0-4 from 3, doesn't get to the line. 1 assist and the 6 turnovers. Absolutely killer game for Jordan Clarkson, his worst in quite some time. Had a weird fit before the game as well in terms of what he was wearing, but a tough look for him, and it really just kind of doomed that second unit. And if he's sort of the guy right now that needs to get hot if they're going to have someone going to scoring bench, him or Hood, neither of them did it, and Clarkson was particularly just bad in this game. Also, just as a note, the thing that really kills the Cavs when they get down is the math. So they took only 23% of their shots as threes compared to 40% of the Wizards. They made only 20% of their threes. Wizards were just above 30%, so not great, but better on a higher percentage of shots. It is really, really hard to make a comeback when you're built this way, when you're built on two-point shots. Don't take a lot of threes, aren't good at taking threes. So the Cavs really miss Kevin Love and Kyle Korver, and if they're going to ever have to mount another comeback like this, which seems likely, having two really good three-point shooters would help. So those guys could solve some of the issues they're having, not just in terms of quality of shot and making shots, but just the volume of threes that the Cavs are taking. We're going to take one last break here, and then Mike Zavgano from Fear the Sword and Dime Mag is going to join me to talk about two-man big lineups. But you're going to hear from one of those bigs, Larry Nance, and then you'll hear me and Mike.
Playing on a second night of back-to-backs, you've done it plenty of times in your career, but what does it take mentally as much as physically for an entire ball club to come in here and pull off a victory that you wanted?
It takes a lot of toughness, you know, both mental and physical. And obviously, this team had a lot more rest than we did coming into this game. But you know, there's really no excuse, you know, for the way that we started that game, on a second night of a back-to-back, you got to know that they're going to throw their punches, but you just have to weather the storm and ride the game out. And we certainly didn't weather the storm.
Because it seemed like part of that, I don't want to say lack of attention to detail, but maybe some of the concentration wasn't like normally as sharp, and so the turnovers result?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we got to watch the film to better understand, but yeah, I mean, when they came out hot like that, getting uncontested shots, and then we tried to make it all, you know, we've got guys, it's a tendency to try to make it all up in one play, you know, get down the court and make something happen yourself where the whole team stands up and you feel like you're back in the game. And that's not how you get back into a game like that. You got to chip away the simple pass, the easy pass, and that's something we'll learn as the season goes on.
Joining me now for the first edition of Tactics Thursday, it is Mike Zavgano from Fear the Sword and Dime Magazine. He's a lawyer in real life now, but Mike, what's going on?
Not too much, man. Happy to be talking about the Cavs and not the law.
I mean, the law might be more exciting.
Maybe tonight.
Yeah, we're recording this after the Cavs lose to the Wizards. Obviously, you heard the show. It's the rest of the show was a recap of this game, but Mike and I are going to talk about how the Cavs have had to play some two big lineups of late. And Mike, I want to just start with just something that I think has to be said about this. I don't know if the Cavs are necessarily doing this by choice. This is a roster that when they lost LeBron and lost Jeff Green, they just lost a number of wings. Jetty's been out. Decker's been out. Even if those are not the best guys, they just have, I think, sort of had to play these two big man lineups. I don't necessarily believe that this is a tactical choice by Larry Drew as much as it's one out of necessity. And this roster is just weird, and it's not really split between bigs and middle guys and guards. It's basically just right now like smaller guys that are playing a little bit up and bigs.
Yeah, I think that basically once Sam Decker went down, you're kind of faced with a really difficult decision if you're not going to play you know, basically a two or Kyle Korver at the four.
Who's also hurt this right team. Now.
Exactly. And I mean, you kind of have, I guess David Nwaba might be the other choice unless you were going to exhume Channing, which they did for a very brief period of time. But yeah, as you said, this lineup kind of born out of necessity, for lack of a better word. And it's certainly not been horrible. I guess it's been somewhat interesting. I think Tristan Thompson is really to credit for the extent that this lineup has kind of stayed above water. They only have a 97 offensive rating and a 94 defensive rating in 86 minutes together. But the defensive rating is artificially low given that opponents are shooting 25% from three over that small sample. So the 97 offensive rating, not great. The defensive rating, probably not sustainable, but you know, for now it's worked out okay.
Yeah, seeing that it's been a positive over 100 possessions is a little bit surprising to me, right? Like, it is just a thing that is weird. It's not a modern lineup. It's not a lineup that where the guys really complement each other in any way. They're sort of the same archetype of player. Nance might be a little bit better passer. Tristan's a much better rebounder and defender at this point, but they kind of play the same role, and I think that doesn't make this any easier as well. The one thing I do like is that they do seem to at least know that they don't get in each other's way. I think you could very easily have had a situation where these two guys are overlapping, where they're kind of being asked to do the same stuff. And I think tactically on both ends of the floor, they're being put in different spots. And some of that defensively is one of them is guarding a guy that is hanging out the perimeter more, and the other guy is getting the inside man. So against the Wizards, it was Markieff Morris and Dwight Howard. But on offense, you know, Nance is getting a lot of work on the elbow. Tristan will get some work on the elbow too, but the other guy is down low. He's in a position to cut. To Larry Drew's credit, he's not trying to do it. He's doing, I think, what he can to not clog up space. The offense is going to struggle, not just because of them, but because a rookie point guard is running the show right now. They're not making a lot of threes, etc. But he's at least, I think, doing smart things to sort of make it work, and I think he deserves some credit for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what you're seeing out of this lineup, like you said, with Tristan Thompson down low and Nance kind of in a more elbow spacer type role, is that Tristan has, you know, really, really dominated the offensive glass, especially in the more recent games. This lineup, you know, is rebounding 28% of Cleveland's misses when it's on the floor, which is a very elite rate. And the true shooting percentage when this lineup's on the floor is only 51%, which is well below league average. So what you're kind of seeing is you're creating more opportunities because you have these two bigs who are both pretty solid offensive rebounders. Obviously Tristan being the better of the two and being closer to the hoop, but you know, due to Sexton, due to the lack of spacing, shooting, etc., you're not really seeing the ball, you know, go in the basket. Obviously, 97 from an offensive rating perspective would be basically the, you know, the lowest mark in the league by a pretty wide margin. But, you know, on the defensive end, they clear the defensive glass pretty well. Obviously, opponent shooting is a bit unsustainable, but, you know, that's kind of what the Cavs are at right now as a team, is just trying to find things that are that they can make work in the interim. Hopefully, you get a few guys back from injury soon and things can kind of even out in the lineup a bit. But, you know, you would think that this lineup would certainly be worse than it's been and more harmful for Colin Sexton's development. But you've kind of seen some good things out of Sexton recently, and this lineup's been kind of okay.
Yeah, the other third two big man lineup that exists in the periphery of what's going on right now is Ante Zizic and Larry Nance. Zizic and Thompson, excuse me, have not really played together, but Nance and Zizic have played a little over 12 minutes together going into Wednesday. It's bad. It's negative 19 points per 100 possessions as a two-man grouping, so like, let's just not see that. Mike, as we look to the Cavs getting guys back, though, so Sam Decker could be back. It seems like in the next couple weeks, based on the timeline, you'll get George Hill back, you'll get Kyle Korver back. Kevin Love's return is obviously way down the line, and I think his return is the one that really normalizes a lot of this, because they'll be playing two bigs, but they're going to be having a guy that can space the floor unlike anyone else they have right now. But when you get Decker back, when you get Korver back, and you get Hill back, do you think it makes sense for the Cavs to keep leaning into this to some degree? Should they play smaller? I mean, what to you is the optimal path as far as when they have everyone but Kevin Love back, which could be in a couple weeks?
Yeah, it's a difficult question, honestly. I've kind of wanted to see what Jetty would look like as a four, or like, you know, quote unquote four, I guess would be the better way to put it. just to see if this team could play a bit smaller and create a bit more spacing, whether that means starting, you know, Sexton, Hood, and J.R. Smith, whether that means starting Sexton, Hood, and Kyle Korver when he's healthy, you know, kind of whatever backcourt combination in addition to Osmond and Thompson, just to see if there's the ability to get a bit more space. You obviously have Tristan still in that, you know, pick and dive, crashing the offensive glass type role, and see if that can open some stuff on the floor for Sexton, who looks like he's kind of finding a bit more in terms of passing lanes and kind of understanding where guys are going to be on the floor as he plays more games at the NBA level. And I think that spacing could really even increase his ability to make those decisions and make them easier. So that might be something that I would consider doing. I don't really see the need to play Sam Dekker, especially as a starter, but just kind of in general. I like the idea of playing a bunch of these guards or wings off the bench. I think Nwaba has given some interesting minutes during this time where people haven't been healthy, and I think that in terms of development, if you're looking at, you know, him or Dekker, you might think that Nwaba is kind of the better candidate to see if you have something there. But yeah, I think that my preference would be at least to start Jetty at the quote-unquote four next to Tristan and see if there's some ability to kind of create more space on the floor for Colin Sexton.
The one concern I have with that is, or two I should say, is Jetty's just not strong right now. Like, he just looks just not really – I wonder what that would do to him physically. And he's also just not hitting threes at the clip that he kind of was early in the year for a bit. And he's really tailed off, and he has that back injury, and he's still a very young player, so that's sort of expected. Nwaba's the guy that I think I'm, and the last two games I think are really coloring my take on this, because he's been so good and so useful, but he's at least strong enough to defend some of these bigger guys, unlike Jetty, unlike Rodney Hood, unlike J.R. Smith, unlike Kyle Korver at this point. He moves really well, he's very smart, he rotates well, and he's not going to hit threes, but he's going to drive, and he's going to at least finish okay at the rim. He's obviously not going to start, but I think he can kind of fill some of that role too. Even if it doesn't necessarily create as much space, you could pair him with Korver, pair him with Hill, pair him with guys that are going to space the floor around Sexton a bit. I think you can make that work, and I also just think he deserves to play at this point. Like, if you're telling me if everyone's healthy, I think just based on his age, based on getting some development, based on his ability as a defender, I kind of think he has to play right now. And he can at least play the four in a way other guys on this roster can't. And I do think it's inevitable too that you are going to see some weird lineups where it's like he's playing the four, but they also have three other guards on the floor because it's like George Hill, Colin Sexton, and J.R. Smith, or Colin Sexton, Jordan Clarkson, and Kyle Korver. Just these weird lineups where it's nominally three guards and Nwaba, so it's four guards, but Nwaba is like kind of acting as a smaller big and like an Andre Roberson mini version, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think that's a solid approach as well, given the fact that, I mean, Nwaba has been good when he's gotten minutes at the NBA level, you know, across different organizations. I thought that of the guys that the Cavs turned over this summer at the NBA level, I thought that he was the guy who could help the team the most, just both from an energy standpoint, but also his ability to, you know, play defense at a higher level than almost any other guy on the roster and, you know, kind of give you those little things that you're really lacking in some areas. And so I think that he's an interesting development case. Obviously, he's only on this one-year deal, so it's hard to see exactly what his future is or what it might be with the Cavs. But, you know, if I was picking a guy that I wanted to see more, especially as things are, you know, not going great in the wing column, he would certainly be that guy for me.
So what would you – we'll end on this. What is just your five-man lineup that when everyone besides Kevin Love is healthy, you'd like to see Larry Drew use at some point?
I think that something along the lines of Sexton and Hill together has interested me as well. So maybe potentially something like Sexton, Hill, Jetty, Nwaba – Thompson might be interesting, maybe a Korver in there in one of those spots as well. But I have been interested at least in seeing that Sexton-Hill pairing just to kind of see how that shakes out. I know obviously the Cavs have a million guards in it, and it makes it difficult to kind of mix and match these guys. But that's certainly at least an iteration of things that I think would be somewhat intriguing to see.
I agree as well. It's not something we've seen a lot of. I think it's easier to probably do if Colin Sexton continues to start, which is something I think maybe we will talk about next week or one of these future ones if we don't do this around the Thanksgiving week. And for what it's worth, in terms of two-man pairings, Sexton and Hill is not one of Sexton's top 10 so far. So it's we've seen bits of it. I know Drew does like it, but he hasn't been able to use it much yet as of late. But you can find my, by the way, would be basically the same. It's Sexton, Hill, Osman, Nwaba, and Thompson as well. Maybe Korver in for Nwaba if you want to go more offensive oriented, but I'm just kind of in love with David Nwaba right now. But you can find Mike on Twitter at mzevgano11. You can find his writing at Fear the Sword, Dimag from time to time. Mike, thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
So that is going to be it for today's show. Thank you to everyone for being patient with the different audio quality going on right now. I just moved, so I do not have everything exactly set up as I want to yet because a lot is still in transition. But that's going to hopefully get better in the next week or so. Thanks again to Mike for coming on. Back tomorrow, talking about the draft, talking about the season so far with David Zavok, and then the draft with Trevor Magnotti. So find me on Twitter and Facebook at CDMWrites, the pod on Twitter and Facebook at LockedOnCavs. Back tomorrow with more. Thank you again for listening. Cheers.